We got a pretty tough passage ahead of us to look at today, so we really need to pray that we can figure this one out. I think I've got a handle on it, but we'll see how we do. I want to say thanks to the church, too, for all the work a lot of people put in yesterday in ministering to the Great House family, and it was joy. It was a joy to do it, but it took everybody, so it was good. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for Jesus, who went to the cross to die for us because he offers to us the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way. There's no other resolution to our sin problem except Jesus and his death on the cross for us. Give us insight today as we look at this passage and help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, just feed us with your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. And I'll be reading verses 6 through 9. And we're going to stop in the middle of a paragraph, Greek paragraph. So we're not going to do the whole paragraph today because there's too much. But we'll finish it next week. 1 John 5, 6 through 9. NIV Bible says, "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son." Wow. Read that. What does that mean? Well, it always helps when you aren't real sure what a passage is saying is to kind of look for words that repeat themselves. And the one that kind of repeats itself in this passage is testify or witness. Some translations will say witness or testify. And, you know, that both those words come from the word for martyr in the Greek text. So testifying about Jesus means probably somebody's going to smack you alongside the head, you know, if you're not careful, because it does offend people at times when they hear, even though it's good news, about Jesus. So that will be all the way through the text today, testifying. Somebody testifying or witnessing about something that we'll find in the text. Well, not everyone believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I think that's pretty clear, isn't it, in this world that we live in. Some tell us that our faith is just our own subjective experience that we have. You know, George, maybe that's just what you feel on the inside. It's nice for you, but don't try to impose it upon me. Or say that those who don't believe, as you do, George, are somehow wrong. But John, when he writes this epistle, this letter for us, emphasized that our faith is based upon objective, historical realities and not just how we feel. It will give us a feeling on the inside when we know Christ, but there are historical realities upon which our faith is based. We see that how he starts his letter in chapter 1 of 1 John, verses 1 through 3. He talks about objective things. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen, what we have heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So said hearing, seeing, touching. There's not much that's more objective than that. We have historical reasons for our faith. You know, some people look at this passage that we're about ready to dive into, and they think this is like the hardest passage in the whole book. And some people say this is like the hardest passage in the whole Bible. You know, what is this talking about? And it's easy to get sidetracked. You know, it talks about the water here. And any preacher like to talk about, you know, the water being the Word of God. You know, you could preach on that forever, talking about the cleansing action of the Word of God. And that's true. But the problem is, that's not what this passage talks about. So you kind of have to stay in context, in the context. You know, most of you know that I used to have an old Dodge pickup truck. And I would drive that Dodge up here, and I'd come up Route 42. And, you know, going out of Ashland, there's a hill. And I figured out, you know, if you hit the bottom of that hill going about 60 or about 65, then you could make it all the way to the top of the hill without shifting down to fourth gear. And so I would try to do that. But if I had anything in the bed of that truck, or there was anybody in front of me, guess what I have to do? I have to shift down fourth gear and just kind of buzz it up the side of that hill. And sometimes you come to a passage in the Bible that's really hard, you have that choice. Either you can put it in high gear and step on the gas and kind of try to buzz through it and hope nobody notices, or you can shift down and we can take our time and do it the right way, go through it. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to shift down, and we're going to see what this passage says to us. And so in these three verses, John returns to how he started his letter, to God's testimony to us about the reality of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch what I just said? How many verses did I read at the beginning today? 6, 7, 8, 9. 4, right? Why did I just say 3? Was it a mistake? Another one of my mental, you know, blips? No, it's because, you know, when you read different translations of the Bible, you're going to get a different translation about this passage. It's so hard that translators have a hard time dealing with it. And there's also a textual problem. So, you know, if you have an older version of the Bible, like the King James Version, then those are based on newer translations of the Bible, like newer texts. If you haven't, you're using NIV or NASV or the ESV, then you're going to go all the way back to the first, second century, and your text is going to be based upon that. This is my mom's Bible. And I remember my mom carrying that to church. And it's really, you know, you see the dog-eared pages. You see the different things she put in there, like the pages that are tore or, you know, stapled together, or there's scotch tape on some of the pages. You know, I hope I leave a Bible for my kids like this. They come back and they say, you know, Dad was a guy who read this book. And the Bible shows that he read it. Well, remember what I read? Look at 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 7. If you have an NIV or NSV or ESV, focus on verse 7. And I'll read what the King James Version says. It says in verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." You might think, why doesn't my Bible say that? It says in the King James, got to be right, right? Well, it's because they're based upon different texts of the original documents. The translations we have are not inspired What is inspired are the original Greek, the original Hebrew, the original Aramaic that the original documents are in. All that we have today in English are translations of that, and usually pretty good. But guess what? We got to talk today about a passage that's debated. So we'll talk about that a little bit. What the King James there tells us is not wrong, but it's not in the original text. It's not in the Greek oldest versions of the Bible. So it was probably, you know, this scribe who was reading this thing said, you know, I can help these people out. If I just put a little marking here in the side of the Bible, and then that later on they'll see that I'm right. Well, apparently somebody later said, hey, what he said is pretty good. It belongs here in this verse. And guess what? That's a mistake. That was a mistake. All right. Let's look at four reasons to know for sure that Jesus is the Son of God. Four reasons today to be sure that Jesus is the Son of God. How do we know? You're going to hear me say that a lot today. How do we know? Because Jesus came by water and blood. Look at verse 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Do you ever notice the words the Bible uses to try to describe what Jesus did in becoming man? It says things like, he became flesh, he appeared, he made his dwelling, his household among us, he was sent. In this verse, it's he came. And the verb there is in the aorist tense, you know, simple past tense, pointing to a decisive action or circumstance in the past. So this water and the blood refers to his baptism and his death. And those are going to serve for us like bookends for the ministry of Jesus Christ. He came by the water and the blood. So the first event is testified by water and refers to his baptism. That's an event that's recorded for us four times in the Bible. Each of the Gospels talks about his baptism. What a testimony that was by the Father about his Son. Get this, the heavens opened. The Spirit of God descended on Jesus like a dove. What amazing testimony that was to all the people that were there. And then there was an audible voice, a voice that everybody could hear from heaven that said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So that's the first way that Jesus came, by the water. But there's a second way. It talks about by the blood, referring to his death or his crucifixion. The Father testified there by many ways too, didn't he? Remember when Jesus was on the cross? From 12 to 3, what did it get outside? Dark. It was a supernatural darkness. You know, it wasn't just because there just happened to be some cloud cover that day. It wasn't because of that. It was supernatural. God did this for a purpose. And then there was an earthquake. Remember that? It says the earthquake was so violent that the rocks themselves split apart. And there was a tearing of the temple curtain. Not just, you know, sideways or from the bottom, but from the top down. You know, and this curtain was so thick that no man could have done that with his own hands. And the Father also testified to Jesus a little bit before his crucifixion in John 9, when he's talking about his name. God spoke again from heaven, who said, I have glorified it, meaning his name, and will glorify it again. Some people think that John is writing this way because there was a heretic named Sertius in the first century. He was a pretty popular guy. A lot of people were not following disciples who decided to follow this other guy. And he taught that the person of God came on Jesus at his baptism and then left him before the cross. But John would have none of this. The Jesus who was baptized was the same Jesus who died for our sins on the cross. He came by water and he came by blood. It's clear, isn't it? It just becomes clear to us why he would say that. How do we know? The second reason, because the Spirit of God testifies. I'll read verse 6 again. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. The Spirit testifies to us. The Spirit's testimony is continuous. It's in the present tense, so it's like a habit. It's like something that is going on all the time. It's continuous. It's as vivid. It's as fresh. It's as reliable today as when John wrote it in the first century. His testimony, the Spirit's testimony, is the truth, not a truth. But he is the truth. And the word there is aletheia in Greek. It means truth. It's reliable. We have confidence in it. And his testimony is personal, according to verse 9. God, in his grace, has given it to us, to you and to me. He's given us this testimony about his Son. It is the Spirit who can make these truths live. Christ died for our sins, but the Spirit of God must make that truth real to us. Only the Spirit of God can make that real to you and to me. The Spirit of God testifies. One of the joys we have is going down and seeing our grandkids in Columbus every once in a while. And Mira is starting to talk now. And when she sees Grandma, she can't say grandma yet. She says gaga. She says gaga pie because both grandmas make her pie. And so gaga means pie to her. And we were sitting at the table, and Jack, he's 6 months old. Mira's about 3 and a half now. And I said to Mira, I said, Mira, Jack would like some pie, wouldn't he? I said, can I give Jack, you know, a spoonful of my pie? And her face just turned white. And she said, Papa, Jack no pie. She knew that Jack could not eat this yet. And I said, oh, I'll give him some. I said, Papa, Jack no pie. It was continuous. It was vivid. It was real, just like the Spirit's testimony is to us about the Son of God. The Spirit of God testifies all the time about who Jesus is to us. He is the Son of God. How do we know? Because the three testify and are in agreement, according to verses 7 through 8. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. So the Spirit of God testifies about the Son of God. The water and the blood speak about the Son of God. You know, the Old Testament law required two or three witnesses for a matter to be legally settled. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. It says in Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, one witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense. he may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And that's what we have discussed in this passage. We have the Spirit of God, we have the water, Jesus' baptism, and we have the blood of Jesus, his death, that settled the matter for us. Jesus is God. A famous American once wrote, "Nothing is certain except death and taxes." Benjamin Franklin wrote these words in 1789. You know, a wise man like Franklin knew that many other things were also certain. Christians are not afraid to say, "We know that we have eternal life. We know that Jesus is the Son of God, and he went to the cross to die for my sins, even though I didn't deserve it. He did that for me. He did everything that we need. Our salvation is clear to us because the three testify and are in total agreement about Jesus being the Son of God. And the fourth and final reason to know that Jesus is the Son of God is found in verse 9. How do we know? Because God's testimony is greater than man's. Verse 9, it says this: "We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son." You know, most people today do receive or accept the witnesses of people, don't they? And another word for that might be that they're taken in by it. They're taken in by it. They're confused by it. You know, if it's on TV, it's written in a book someplace, it's in a newspaper, it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right? It's got to be. So many people will accept what they read or hear. But you know what? Many people won't accept what God says. God's news is good news. It's about his Son who died for us on the cross. That's his message. People sometimes say, you know, "I wish I had faith. I wish I could have faith." But all day long, people trust each other, don't they? Maybe you went to the doctor this past week. For the most part, we trust our doctors, don't we? Or maybe you went to a restaurant. We trust the people that cook our food for us in restaurants, don't we? Or maybe you drove to church this morning and there was a car that was coming at you on the other side of the road. There's some trust you have to put in that person too, isn't there? That he's awake and he's not going to come over on my side, so I don't have to go over the ditch to get away from this guy. But if we trust those men, those people, why can't we trust God? Jesus is God. This is very certain from what the scriptures tell us. From the subjective material, stuff that's provable, historical facts that we have, Jesus is God. And God has testified about us, about it to us. Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead. He's alive. He's the Son of God. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And he went to the cross to pay for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this passage. That's a tough, tough passage to understand and to grasp. Lord, we just pray that the Spirit of God will testify to us throughout the week, and especially as we read your word and we follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Spirit, we are one. by us.